Once again, I invite your attention to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is a book about the riches of Christ Jesus that we as believers have received. Again, the key verse of the book of Ephesians is right here in chapter 1. In verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And as I said last week, we identified 12 of those blessings in verses 4 through 14. I'd like to take a moment to look at those blessings again, as today we're going to look at the one which is the capstone. It's the one that includes all the others. The first one, being chosen in Jesus Christ, gives us access to all of the other spiritual blessings that we receive, including the ones here in chapter 1 and the ones that we have not yet been told about or are aware of, heavenly blessings when we get to heaven. But the blessings that we're talking about and we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks, number one, in verse 4, we have been chosen. We're going to talk about election today. The elect. Who are the elect? What is election all about? It is a doctrine that is not easy to understand. It is a doctrine that many people have questions about and are not quite sure they understand how it works. It's a doctrine that's a little bit mysterious. It's a doctrine that we accept a lot of by faith, that it's just the way it is. God planned it that way. God is sovereign. He knows what He's doing, and we will understand it all by and by, as they say. When we get to heaven, we will be like Him. We'll understand as He understands, because we will be glorified in Jesus Christ and have glorified minds as well as bodies. But we have been chosen in Him. Also in verse 4, we have been sanctified, set apart and made holy, positionally in Jesus Christ. We are holy. As Bill said in Sunday school class this morning, we all sin. Even as Christians, we sin. Every day we fall short of God's glory. Every day the Holy Spirit is doing a work in us, a good work, performing it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we're not perfect and we fall short of God's glory, but positionally in Jesus Christ, in heavenly places, we are holy and without blame. So we are sanctified. Predestinated in verse 5, predestinated us unto the adoption. So adoption is actually the fourth blessing, predestinated the third, according to the good pleasure of His will. And then in verse 6, we are accepted in the beloved. A very important doctrine to understand, accepted. And then redemption, of course, is another vitally important doctrine in verse 7. Forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness is an important thing to understand. Then we are enriched. We are given the riches of His grace. Also in verse 7. So there's three things in verse 7. Redemption, forgiveness, and enrichment. Then we have been given wisdom and prudence, or spiritual understanding in verse 8. We've been enlightened. One of the blessings is the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. Dropping down to verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance. Going back to Romans chapter 8 through 10, we have become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And all the riches of God belong to us, so we are heirs. We have been glorified. We are to the praise of His glory. We've been lifted up and made to look good because we are children of God. And so when the world sees us, it is to see Christ in us, and we will glorify and we will shine for Him for all of eternity. So we've been glorified, verse 12. And then in verse 13, we have been sealed. We have been guaranteed by the sealing of the Holy Spirit that eternal inheritance and position in Jesus Christ. And we will spend that position in heaven, so we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And as I already said, we're going to take more time talking about election In verse 4, we have been chosen or elected in Him before the foundation of the world. More time spent on that one today. That's the only one I'm doing today. The others will move more quickly on and probably take two or three each week until we finish the list. But election is so important because it covers all the others. Because we are elected, because we have been chosen in Christ, we are the recipients of all spiritual blessings. So we understand that we are chosen in Christ, and to be chosen is a very rich blessing indeed. I don't know how things were when you were growing up as a youngster, and most youngsters go through that period of time in adolescence and early teenage years where they're a little bit insecure, trying to figure out, who am I? How do I relate to everyone else in the world? What's my role? What's my position? Why am I here? Asking all those basic questions. And you understood, you remember back in those days that it was so important to fit in. You were really struggling hard. Some kids, it seems naturally, they're kind of, they stand out in the crowd and everybody accepts them and they have a lot of friends and they're popular. Then there's the average Joe, like many of us, like myself, who found it a struggle to fit in during my junior and senior high school years. I felt like the outsider. I felt like I didn't really fit anywhere. And I remember those days in gym class when we would go outside to play softball or soccer or badminton or whatever it was. And the first thing the coach would say on many days is, okay, he would choose two team captains. And he would say, okay, choose your team. And so we would all line up, and one after the other, they would take a choice. I was always the next to the last or the last one to be chosen. That made an impact on me. It damaged me. I'm damaged goods. That really affected me. Even to this day, I remember how much that hurt. How much it hurt to stand there knowing that my classmates, my peers, knew I was not athletically gifted and knew that I was the kid that would always strike out. I would always miss the ball. I couldn't throw a ball. I couldn't run. There was nothing I could do right. And so nobody wanted to choose me. But the day came when I realized God chose me. And that was the best day of my life. That was the greatest time in my life when I realized maybe nobody else wants me, but God does. And we are chosen by God. And it's a rich spiritual blessing because those who are chosen by God are totally transformed from being dead in trespasses and sins. We are being made alive through the Spirit of God. Those chosen by God are recreated as new and holy creatures in God's sight. Again, covering another one of the qualifications, another one of the blessings here, being made holy and without blame, the idea of being sanctified. Those chosen by God are given an eternal inheritance, including not only the riches of glory, but a life that never ends. What a blessing to be chosen by God. And above all, those chosen by God are umbrellaed. You like that term? You look in the dictionary, you'll probably not find it. I made that up. We are umbrellaed under all the other spiritual blessings in Christ. We are under the umbrella of every spiritual blessing because He chose us. He chose us to be one of His. He chose us to be one of His sheep, one of His children. And so we call this the doctrine of election. The doctrine of election. Election includes the truth that salvation doesn't begin with us. We don't do something, and because we do something right, we get chosen. Doesn't work that way. Salvation begins with God. God chose us. That is a basic understanding that many believers simply cannot grasp. Because works are drilled into our head from the day we're old enough to understand how to talk. That we have to do something or be something in order to receive in exchange a reward for that something we did or that somebody we are. Our salvation, our election, being chosen, is not based upon anything that we do. It's not that some are better than others, not that some are loved more than others. Election begins with God. Salvation begins with God, not man. In John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Did you ever stop and think about this? Did you ever realize that none of the disciples came and volunteered to be followers of Jesus Christ? Not one single person came to Jesus one day and said, "Hey Jesus, are you taking applications? I'd like to be part of your team." Jesus went to them. They were busy doing whatever it was they do, most of them fishing. And after a long and frustrating night of toiling on the waters and fishing and then coming back in the morning and having to unload the fish and get them to market and mend the nets and get ready for the next night, Jesus comes walking along and says, "Hey, follow me. Change your occupation. Let's make a 120, 180 degree turnaround, and now I want to make you fishers of men." Jesus went to them. He chose them. He invited them to come and follow him. According to Paul in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, the lost sinner left to his own ways will never seek after God. No man seeketh after God. Not one. God in his immense and amazing love seeks the sinner. Luke 19:10, "For even the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was his mission. And he passed that mission on to us. That's called the Great Commission, whereby we are sent into the world to seek sinners who are lost and invite them to come and understand that they have been chosen by God and put their faith in him. And notice, this is very important. Notice this. God chose us when? After we did a certain amount of good deeds, right? After we started going to church and got our name on the membership roll, right? No, God chose us before the foundation of the world. Long before he even created the world or the universe. So our salvation is based completely on grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God, in his love, compassion, and mercy, gave us the elect, those who are chosen. He gave us what we do not deserve. He gave us all these spiritual blessings. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us an eternal home in heaven, an inheritance. He gave us wisdom, an understanding, forgiveness, redemption. All of these things he gave us because of grace. God the Father planned our redemption long before we were ever born on this earth. Now, I want to mention three different kinds of election today, just to give you a way to compare and understand a little bit clearer, maybe, what election is really all about. There's actually three kinds of election mentioned in the Bible. There's election of a people, a group of people. God elected. God chose a certain group of people. There's election for a purpose. God chose certain people to do certain things. And then what we're talking about here in verse 4, that he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that is election to a personal salvation. A personal salvation. It's an election that each one of us need to respond to in order to become the recipients of, in order to receive all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We need to respond to this being chosen. I had a choice when I was standing there on that softball field waiting to be chosen. And there was actually days, I can remember days when down to the last person, finally, I'll take him, one of the captains would say. And I would just sit down on the bench and say, no, I don't want to play today. I chose not to be chosen. So there is election, but we have to accept it. We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be part of that elect. Three kinds of election. There's election of a people. God chose Israel. Today is the International Day of Prayer for the peace of Jerusalem, as we've been mentioning. We call this God's theocratic election. He is God. He is the ruler of the universe. He has the sovereign choice, and he can decide. We don't have to understand why. We don't have to understand his thinking on this or the reasons he did this, but God, being God, chose Israel to be a special chosen people. He says, you are a holy people unto the Lord thy God. God told Moses in the Sinai wilderness, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And that election had no bearing on personal salvation. It didn't mean that they were going to heaven automatically or that they were going to have eternal life. But here on this earth, they were part of a group of people that God had chosen to be called the apple of my eye, my special people, the nation through whom I'm going to work and demonstrate my grace and my mercy and my power and my love to all the earth. God chose Israel, but it had no bearing on personal election or personal salvation. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. In other words, they're not all saved Israelites just because they are biological Israelites, neither because they are the seed of Abraham. Now, a lot of Jews today base their belief on the fact that because we are children of Abraham, biologically, we are descendants of Abraham, we are automatically chosen by God for eternal life. That is not true. And a lot of them have a false sense of salvation or a false sense of security because they are simply children of Abraham. But when it comes to receiving Jesus Christ and believing on Jesus Christ, no, 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 no. They will not do that because they still have not accepted Jesus Christ as being their Messiah, and so they're going to be sorely disappointed one day when they find out, no, nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Nobody. Being children of Abraham does not qualify you to be among God's saved people. And so, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed, as Paul explains in Romans 9, 6 through 8. In other words, being a child of Abraham or a physical descendant of Abraham does not make one a child of God. Neither does being a member of a church or being baptized or getting involved in church activity and church work or even spending your life in full-time Christian service, that does not mean you are automatically saved because of those things. Those who are saved are those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Those who are saved believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, took the penalty of our sins, and died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose again from the dead. And by believing that, by trusting in him, by believing that that sacrificial death of Jesus Christ was the payment for my sin, and through that, his blood purchased my redemption, purchased me with a cost, with a price, out of the deadness, out of the being dead in trespasses and sins, and gave me the ability to become a child of God, to become a part of his family. Racial descent from Abraham as the father of the Hebrew race did not mean automatic spiritual descent. Spiritually, Abraham became the father of all them that believe. He became the father of all them that believe, whether they're Jew or Gentile, according to Romans 4:11. So, first of all, we have election of a people. God chose Israel to be his special people. He wants Israel to be saved, but in order to be saved, they have to come through Jesus Christ. They have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, election for a purpose. We call this vocational election. The Lord called out the tribe of Levi to be priests. They were called to take care of the temple or the tabernacle before the temple, the holy work there of offering daily sacrifices and taking care of the observances of all the holy days and holy services. They were the worship leaders of the congregation. And you would think, well, all Levites certainly must be saved, right? Again, not unless they trust in Jesus Christ. Not unless they put their faith in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, again, it comes back to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be elected to a personal salvation. Their jobs did not guarantee them a place in heaven. Another example of this, Jesus chose 12 men to be apostles when he was walking on the face of this earth. But you know, not all of them were saved. Judas Iscariot, as near as we can tell in Scripture and historical documents, never put his faith in Christ. He never confessed Christ. And as far as we know, his soul is lost eternally in the lake of fire. After Paul, the apostle, came to Christ, God chose him to be an apostle. Election for a purpose, vocational election. He was chosen by God to be the apostle to the Gentiles, Acts 9:15. And so he received a special calling, a vocational election. By the way, just put in this plug tonight for tonight. Those of you who haven't been attending Sunday evening services, you know, the Bible is very important to us. We need to understand, we need to know our Bibles thoroughly. There's no way any of us can spend enough time in the Bible. And when the church body meets together, the body of Christ, to open the Word of God and to listen to the Holy Spirit divide the Word of truth to us, we ought to be here. Tonight we're going to start a study on the Apostle Paul, the life of Paul. Fascinating. And so we are going to look at aspects of his life that are practical to us, that we can learn practical lessons from, things that we can apply in our Christian walk by looking at not only the successes, but also the failures of the Apostle Paul. There's a lot to learn there, and so we ought to be in the house of God whenever we can to hear God speak to us. Well, that brings us to the third kind of election, the one that we're looking at here in verse 4, the one we're talking about today, and I'm calling this the election to a personal salvation. In John 6:44, Jesus says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Unless God draws an individual to himself, that person cannot be saved. We said it this morning. The Holy Spirit convicts. What was the first one? Jesus saves, the Holy Spirit convicts. God draws. Okay, that's the first point. God draws people unto himself. The Holy Spirit brings conviction using the Word of God. And then Jesus saves that person by putting their by having people put their faith in him. The word draw there in John 6:44 is the word hokuo, and it's the idea of an... Now, some of you are going to have trouble with this if you are twisted up on your theology and you don't understand election. And I hope that this is helping to clear it up today, what we're going to say from this point on. But I'm not a five-point Calvinist. But there is irresistible grace. And when God draws a person... This is why election is hard for us to understand. It's an irresistible force that's drawing us. In other words, we cannot resist the force that God uses to pull people to safety. Let me give you some examples. The concept of helkuo in the Greek was used in ancient Greek literature. A lot of times these little fishing boats out on the Mediterranean, they weren't really designed for Mediterranean-type use, but they used them. And a lot of times they would get in trouble. Very common for a little fishing boat, maybe three or four guys on board and a load of fish, to get into a storm and start taking on water and start breaking up, and they would be in danger of sinking, and the men on board would lose their lives. There were larger ships constantly coming in and out of ports, and they would have to pass by these little struggling fishing boats. And these big ships coming into port would see a boat that was sinking. And, you know, guys out there waving their arms, yelling, "Help us, help us." So they would throw them a big heavy rope, a strong rope. And they would tie that rope off somehow on their little fishing boat. And this great big giant boat that wasn't having any problem at all in the storm would drag that little ship, that little fishing boat, into the shore, into the beach, at least close enough where they could get out and manually pull it in and get it out of the water. When you're out there by yourself, struggling and having a difficult time, you can't do it alone. But when once you got hold of by that big ship, it was irresistible. He was going to drag you one way or the other to that beach. It was irresistible. Another illustration, you've seen these pictures in these salvage yards where they tear cars apart and they recycle the metal and the tires and the different things off of that tire. And then when it's all broken down and separated, they have these big giant electromagnets that come down and they turn them on and they latch onto these cars and they pick up all the iron and the steel and they transport it over here and dump it in a big bin or whatever to put it on a ship and take it to wherever it gets recycled. Those electromagnets, once they latch onto that iron and steel, that is an irresistible force. Whatever's connected to it is going. It can't help it. But at the same time, if you happen to be a piece of copper or a piece of aluminum, it's not going to have any effect on you. It is only picking up what has been chosen to be recycled at that particular time. In a similar way, God's elective will, or his election by grace, irresistibly draws to himself those he has predetermined to love and forgive while having no effect on those whom he has not. And somebody's going to say, "Pastor, did you just say God chooses some people to be saved and others not?" No, I didn't say that. And this is why it's hard for many people to understand election. Let's go on, and hopefully this will clear up. The Bible is very clear that no person receives Jesus Christ as Savior who has not been chosen by God. That's true. Let me give you some verses. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Those whom he did foreknow. Paul further says in Romans 9:11, "For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand." Not of works, but of him that calleth. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:2, that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." So the basis for election, very clearly from those verses, is the foreknowledge of God. When did we become elect? When were we chosen? Again, going back to verse 4, before the foundation of the world. God, basis of election is not only foreknowledge, but it's also by grace, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about grace in Ephesians, so I'm not going to get into that today. But God in his foreknowledge knew before the foundation of the world who would believe. And those whom he knew would believe, who would trust, who would accept the message of salvation, who would realize that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. In order to get to God, I have to come through him. He knew who they would be, and on the basis of who they were, they became a part of that group of people who were included in the election. Now, I have based my theology on that for the last 30 years. It helps me to understand election. To me, it's perfectly clear in my mind. But I also agree with Dr. John MacArthur, who says, a lot of people say that, but it's not quite that simple. Another way to help us understand this is God designed this election, this process of choosing us for salvation. And he knew that there would be a group of people, foreknowledge, even before the world began, even before the universe was created, he knew there would be those who would choose Jesus Christ, who would believe on him, who would become his followers, who would become his disciples, who would be saved by grace. And for those people, he designed election. And he says that group of people will be called the elect. That's another way of looking at it that puts a slightly different shade on it. Jesus said, here's the thing, we need to balance this irresistible force of being chosen with free will. Does man have the free will? Does he have the ability to accept or decline the offer of salvation? We can't justify the Bible without saying, yes, indeed, the Bible clearly teaches that we have to accept, we have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so here's some verses. Jesus said that whosoever, say that with me, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's John 3:16 and John 11:26. Whosoever. There are many commands given in the scripture to the unsaved to respond to the Lord. Joshua chapter 24, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Isaiah 55 verse 1, ho, everyone that is thirsty, come to the waters. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Everybody that we've invited to come to Jesus Christ, have they come? Every person that you've witnessed to, have there been people you've known who have died and they have never accepted that invitation to come to Jesus? To accept Him, to receive Him? Yes. I know of people, you know of people, who have died without receiving the offer to come. But the offer is there. And if they accept that offer, if they receive Jesus Christ, if they put their faith on Him, believe on Him, guess what they find out? In eternity future, they're going to find out they were part of the elect. There was a group of people called the elect. I am now part of that group because I came, because I believed, because I received the Lord Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. John 7:37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. He that is athirst, come. And whosoever, there it is again, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And I said, election is an irresistible force. When God draws people to Himself, it's irresistible. But God gives man a free will. There's a balance in the Christian, there's a balance in the theology of Christianity that our finite minds cannot fully wrap themselves around. I leave it at that, friends. The Bible says the wind blows and man cannot understand why. What made the wind blow? The wind blows where it wills. And I just believe it because I see the results of it. The Bible says when God draws people to Himself, it's an irresistible force, but at the same time, man has the ability to accept it. Man has the ability to receive it. Man has the ability to choose it. I accept that by faith. I cannot wrap my mind completely around it. Nor can you. But God has given us His assurance that once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we become His elect. We are chosen in Him. And that's one of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Let me spend just a moment here as we close on the purpose of election. Why did God elect us before the foundation of the world? We might think that God chose us because He had so much compassion on us and He didn't want to see any of us perish. And we would be totally right in saying that. Because God just, it says in 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul says that those who are chosen must hear the gospel that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with eternal glory. With it, eternal glory. God is not willing that any should perish. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. And so we might say God chose us because He just loved us so much. We might think that God chose us because He wants to spend eternity with us. He designed us for that reason. When He created the world, He decided to create man and woman and start a human race. People created in His own image. Part of the reason for that creation is that He might spend eternity with those people. You might say, He loves us so much that He wants to spend eternity with us, and that's why He chose us, and you would be right. in saying so. But the biggest reason why God created us and chose us to be a part of His family, here it is. You ready for this? You might think the biggest reason is because He loved us. He does love us, but that's not the biggest reason. You might think the biggest reason is because He wants to spend eternity with us, but that's not the biggest reason. The biggest reason is right here in the text, right here in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to see that the biggest reason why God elected us, why God chose us before the foundation of the world, was for His own glory. Say it with me, for His own glory. Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Look at verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. The primary reason, the primary purpose in electing the church was that the whole universe might know the manifold wisdom of God. That's Ephesians 3:10. That's what happens when Jesus Christ is glorified. The whole universe becomes aware of the manifold wisdom of God. God wants to people to know that He is God. We see that theology all the way through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. The purpose of everything God has done in history, the history of mankind, is so that the whole world might know that I am God. And if we know that He is God, we know His characteristics. We know He is loving, He is merciful, He is kind, He is salvation, He is one who doesn't want to see anybody perish but have everlasting life. He is one who loves us so much He gave His only begotten Son. And on we could go. That's what it means to glorify Christ, to glorify God, is so that the whole world might know that it's possible to have an eternal relationship with Him. Not to perish, not to spend eternity separated from Him, but as He created us, to spend eternity with Him, enjoying His presence forever. He chose us for His own glory. God's holy angels are also elect. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. Chosen by Him to glorify His name and to be His messengers. By the same sovereign plan and will, the church is elect. Paul writes to Timothy saying, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace that was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Paul gave thanks for the church because it is God's elect. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. It's a great feeling to be chosen. It gives a person a great sense of belonging, a great sense of value, a great sense of, I am a part of something much bigger than me. And I am a part of that because I am loved for who I am. Not because of anything I did, not because I am better than anybody else, but because God is so gracious and loving and kind. He hath chosen me. Have you received that choice? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted that truth that God wants you to be a part of His family? Remember, we said the only way to become a part of God's elect is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Father, we ask today that you would speak to hearts and assure those who are here today that have received the Lord Jesus Christ that they are indeed chosen. They are indeed part of God's elect. We don't have to understand it fully. We don't have to be able to explain it without mystery added to it. We don't have to be able to understand how it all works exactly. But we know it's true. And we thank you that we have been chosen by God. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who cannot say, I know, I have assurance, I believe with all my heart that God loves me, that He has forgiven me, He has redeemed me, He has called me, and I am His. I belong to Him. That they would consider what we're saying today and today put their faith in Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Say, dear Lord, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I may be lost. Father, forgive me today of my sins and save me. And if you pray that prayer with sincerity in your heart, indicating that you've put your trust in Jesus Christ based upon trusting in Him, you too will have eternal life. And nobody can pluck you out of God's hand. Thank you for these truths. Help us as days go by and as we get closer and closer to eternity, closer to that day where we see you face to face, help us to understand it a little clearer by and by. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.